also been these new businesses like Mad River Canoe, like Green Mountain Coffee Roasters, and this kind of thing cropping up.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your thinking about those kind of businesses?
Oh, I'm really all in favor of it. Anything like that, one thing that the state of Vermont needs is businesses that add value. We cannot survive as a service business, as a service industry state. So we need some kind of light, clean manufacturing. Particularly partial to Mad River Canoe because we knew the parents of the founders in Massachusetts before they came up here. And I admire people who say I have a skill. I like whitewater canoeing, and I'm smart enough about it that I can turn it into a line, to into a product line. So I certainly admire Jim and Kay for that. It's now my understanding that Jim, while he still designs most of the canoes, is off on a new career, and he has a line of decoys, duck decoys that he makes, that are just absolutely superb. Again, value added, I'm all in favor of it, absolutely.
Now let me ask you also about the aquifer. Tell me first of all a little bit about that, and why is the town in such an uproar about it?
There are two factions who have succeeded in polarizing the issue. There are a number of people, most of them with a farm background, landowners like Edgar, who feel that zoning is an unwarranted government invasion of your right to do what you want with the land on which you pay taxes. There is another class of people who lives close to where the aquifer has been identified, who obviously do not want an increase in traffic on their roads and the highways and dust and smoke and that business. They certainly are against it. My own personal view is I think that government entities do have a valid function in performing some regulatory process. I don't have too much problem with reasonable regulation. And extraction of water looks to me to be a super clean industry and provide some jobs and create some value. I don't know how the vote came out yesterday. There was another vote in town meeting yesterday, and quite frankly, I don't know how it worked out. I haven't heard. The vote was to, again, make water extraction, commercial water extraction, a conditional use in the zoning bylaws. At the present time, commercial water extraction is not a permitted use anywhere, which is, well, part of what the flail is all about.
A lot of it was just, it's my right to do what I want to and no one can tell me. And everybody digs in their heels. And even if they wanted to agree, they wouldn't because they just don't agree.
What's your feeling about it?
Well, I think it would be a wonderful thing to happen. Of course, granted, the trucks won't go down by our house, but we do get an awful lot of people here looking at the covered bridge, standing on the porch and to get a good shot of the porch. But that's part of the choices that we made to live here, and we knew we would have that. And I just think it's a shame that all that water is just sitting there, and it can be a good, clean industry and provide long-term jobs for people. You want to tell John? Hold up on.
Stop working on his deck.
He's up behind the woodpile. How much longer do you think we'll be?
I don't think we'll be too much longer. I want to. There are a couple of things I want to more that I want to ask you about. We talked about new people coming in and shutting the door.
Mm-hmm.
Door. And that's not only here, you've noticed it all over.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I also want to get you to tell the story about Earl Fuller again. And I should check my notes, which I haven't been. I think we've covered a lot of it. The Class 4 roads, oh, and the town preserving the viewscapes. Well, let's take the opportunity.
We were aquifering it.
Aquifering it, and closing the door was. What do you think, Ma? Should we?
I don't think Ev will let us get away with it.
I can speak to John if you say that, you know, it's going to be 10 minutes or something like
all
that.
Right, how about, do you think it could be 15 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. We're rolling. Okay. Go back to the aquifer and, that whole issue. And we had talked previously, I think, that some of the people coming in had wanted to shut the door, and that might be one of the elements, and I just wanted to get you both discussing that.
It's very easy to see that as a position of some people. There were several who lived reasonably close to where the aquifer is going to be, who are not even landowners, who rent up there, and said, you know, this is my turf. I rent here. I'm entitled to have it to peace and quiet, and I'm not going to have any damn trucks on my road. In a sense, that's as much a property rights issue as the people who say you should be able to do whatever you want. And there was little effort at compromise. I'm not really going to accuse any one person of coming in and slamming the door, but it's very easy to get the impression that that's what they want to do. They're here and they don't want any more other people.
And they didn't want her to get her water.
Mm-hmm. The state is to some extent, I think, aiding and abetting in that way with their insistence on the planning process for whatever the planning process is. I have attempted to get a definition of what constitutes good planning and haven't been able to find a definition yet. They say, well, this was a good plan. This is an example of a good plan. Well, what makes it a good plan? It's a good plan. Now, the state, as I say, with the regional planning commissions, the local planning commissions, Mad River Valley Planning Commission, we are in danger of being planned to a fairly well. And the planners obviously want to preserve the rural appearance. And I guess I'm in favor of that as well. I don't object to that. It's a matter of degree. Where do you draw the line? The issue of the covered bridge is one where I'm on the other side of the coin. There was an effort in the early 70s to abandon the covered bridge and put a two-lane bridge beside it. which I felt adamantly was not the way to go, because I liked the covered bridge. I grew up with it, and so I was. I came up and I talked at town meeting, as I recall, delivered an impassioned plea to save the covered bridge, and whether it helped or not, I don't know. But the bridge is still there. It's one of the few. Really attractive things that we have in the center of town, and draws a lot of people.
Yeah, I can remember when they were discussing that.
Mm-hmm. So one person's covered bridge is another person's aquifer, as far as I'm concerned.
There were, not everybody, but that some people had pretty much that attitude. It's something that's been coming up again and again, so I've been asking about it.
Well, one thing that as far as shutting the door was concerned, I don't know. I'll just have to think about that.
And then there was the whole environmental thing. Have you seen that?
Oh, yes. Yes. The issue of water withdrawal from the Mad River for the ski areas. Again, it seems to be a matter of degree. But it is confrontational. It's not cooperative, it's confrontational, and that I don't see, other than groups like the Conservation Law Foundation, which is largely a Boston organization, which has, albeit chapters, I guess, in all of the New England states. How much water can you safely take out of the river? I don't know. I really don't. Even without taking any water out, the river has changed dramatically from what it was, well, from what it used to be. There are very few big fish in it you could go out here when the dam was in place, and there would always be a big fish loitering around under the dam. The only fish in the river now, I think, are essentially those that the state puts in every spring. And I have absolutely no problem with the ski areas withdrawing a reasonable amount of water, if someone could only tell me what a reasonable amount is. But no one agrees on that at the present time. I certainly would not like to see them draw it down dry.
I have a question for you.
You're not supposed to ask me a question.
Something interesting. If it had been Mad River, who Glenn wanted to use the water from the Mad River, I wonder if it would have been as so decisive as it is with Sugar Bush.
As polarized? I don't know. That's an interesting question. Of course, Betsy probably wouldn't want to make snow anywhere on the mountain anyway, but...
No, but that's interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. At what is now Sugarbush South, it used to be Glen Ellen when it first came in, one of the first things he did was build himself a big pond, because he knew he was going to have to be able to make snow, and he had a water supply source close at hand, and worked quite well for him.
I wonder if the arrogance of Sugar Bush, I'm here, treat me right, or else.
Well, there's that part of it too, and then there's the other part that says Sugar Bush is a non-resident landlord. It's owned by an outfit in Philadelphia. They don't care. They have deep pockets. We can gouge them for whatever we can gouge them for. It's always easy to ascribe motives to others. The point is that the ski area is the economic engine in the valley today, and without it, there would be a lot of lodges, a lot of restaurants, a lot of gas stations, a lot of service industries that would have no reason for being. There would be a kind of experience to me.
I'll cover up your sand, your line in the sand, if you'll cover up mine.
Where do you think the valley's going? Do you think they'll be able to develop some clean industries to supplement the ski industry, or what do you think's, what direction is it?
Well, I'll take a parochial view. I haven't thought too much about that because we're back and in a retired mode, so I don't have to worry about that anymore. Yes, now we can close the door. The valley has a decent native working population, and clean industries, yeah, there are quite a few programming houses that are coming in. People who have come in because they like to live here, and they're running 3 and 4 and 5 man operations. That certainly is clean industry. There are some hardware sellers and some hardware resellers in the computer field. I like to see that because I dabble in that, with those toys myself. I'm not much of a prophet. If the ski areas were to go away, I'm not sure where if they were to go away in a precipitate fashion, the valley would go downhill very rapidly. Waterbury homes. Oh, I think so. I think so. That's one of the afternoon. Probably I don't time ago. Pretty super little pocket in which to live. My view.
I agree. A lot of people will come and look at us and leave, and leave their money, and that's just fine with me.
Keep Vermont green.
Mm-hmm. Well, that just about does it, except for the Earl Fuller story.
Oh, the Earl.
Just to preface it, tell me a little bit about who Earl was and, that particular story.
Earl Fuller was a lovely old East Warren farmer who fancied himself as being something of a veterinarian. He could find causes for any illness in any animal, and a lot of people, he did a lot of good for a lot of people. The story that I remember, and this was told by John Kingsbury, the blacksmith, about how Earl Fuller stopped by one farmer, I don't remember who it was, one farmer's place one day, and the farmer allowed us to have how he had a bad cow and could Earl look at it. And Earl came over and he looked around and he prodded on the outside and opened the cow's mouth and looked down and said, "Aha." And the guy said, "What's the matter?" Earl says, "Hardware. The animal's got hardware." "Oh, really? Is there anything you can do about it?" "Well, I think so." Earl reached his hand in his pocket and he opened the cow's mouth and put his hand way down towards his throat and came back out and he said, "Look, a nail." It was never recounted as to whether the animal recovered or not. There were a lot of lovely old characters. That's an interesting thing you can think about sometime. Where have the characters gone?
Tell them that quick story about the when we get over this hill we'll scoot.
Oh. Well, it gets fairly long because you have to remember that before the age of dump trucks, there were horse-drawn dump carts, and they had very large wheels in the back because it made them easier to roll, and fairly small wheels up front so you could turn sharp and back into rough places. And there was a guy who lived up on German Flats Road, Jack Smales, who came down to the village every Saturday night to have a little ginger beer, as the saying goes, and get some groceries. And one Saturday night, he had stayed a little longer than usual, and the locals had switched the wheels on his dump cart, so the big wheels were on the front and the little ones were on the back. And he was observed that evening going across Irisville Flats, talking to the animals, "Get along there, go along there. Soon as we get up this big hull, we'll scoot."
You're right, though. Where have the characters gone? I mean, and the thing
you've got, we've got Hat Gaylord. You can have it.
Yeah, we've recorded him. Don't worry. We're not looking to hurt anybody. And I think these characters attracted stories,
mm-hmm.
30, 40 years ago. Earl Fuller, everybody has an Earl Fuller story.
Sure. There was a guy named Dave DeMaugh that my dad used to tell the story of. Dave was, well, he may have been a quart low in the crankcase or something like that, but he was pleasant enough and harmless and very happy, and one day he came into the store and somebody said, "Dave, you've got a new jackknife." He says, "Yep. Where'd you get that?" "I traded with Emery Somerville." "Really? How'd you trade?" "I don't know. Emery wasn't home."
When your father would tell that story and his eyes would sparkle.
But there were more characters per square mile then, it seems to me, than there are now.
Well, I've heard about Kingsbury mm-hmm. before and what a good storyteller he was. And
he was a kind man, too. He was kind to the animals.
Mm-hmm. And he had some that didn't give him any cause to be. But that's an interesting, take that as a subject, where for your thoughts, where have the characters gone?
There isn't time, maybe, for character development.
That's possible. It's also possible that we don't get to know people well enough to know that they're a character.
Speaking of characters.
Hi, come in.
We're done.
Okay.
Except that we're gonna have to have.
Okay, this is a Smith room tone. The room,
Tom. Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
Have you been watching The Farm Project, 10 and 7 miles?
I forgot